Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Democrats hope to present a united front as the party's nominating convention kicks off in Chicago today. Vice President Harris says she takes nothing for granted.
I very much consider us the underdog. I feel like we need to earn everyone's vote.
She will officially accept the party's nomination Thursday. President Biden is tonight's keynote speaker. Correspondent Matt Piper is in Chicago.
A new CBS News poll shows the gender gap and enthusiasm are making for a tight race. Kamala Harris and GOP nominee Donald Trump are even across the battleground states that will decide the Electoral College. But now Harris has a three-point edge nationally. Trump, for his part, keeps a lot of his advantages. He leads with people who say the economy is a major factor, and he leads with voters who say they are not doing as well financially.
Former President Donald Trump will be back on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania today. At a stop in Wilkes-Barre over the weekend, he asked supporters,
"Are you better off with Kamala and Biden than you were under President Donald J. Trump?" I don't think so.
CBS News has learned New York's disgraced Republican former Congressman George Santos will plead guilty today at court on Long Island. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
In the end, he realized that he didn't have much in the way of legal defenses to the charges of money laundering, lying to Congress, and identity theft.
Santos' trial was scheduled to begin September 9th. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in the Middle East as optimism grows for a ceasefire in Gaza. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Blinken is holding talks in Israel ahead of this week's ceasefire negotiations in Cairo.
This is a decisive moment, probably the best, maybe the last opportunity to get the hostages home, to get a ceasefire.
Shortly after he arrived Sunday, a bomb exploded near a synagogue in Tel Aviv. Hamas has claimed responsibility. Israel overnight stepped up its strikes around Gaza City.
President Volodymyr Zelensky says Ukraine's daring military incursion into Russia is intended to create a buffer zone to prevent more cross-border attacks from the Kremlin. He spoke through an interpreter.
It is now our primary task in defensive operations overall to destroy as much Russian war potential as possible and conduct maximum counteroffensive actions.
Here in the U.S., some popular chicken products are being recalled. Purdue says some of its ready-to-eat nuggets and tenders may contain pieces of metal wire. No injuries reported. The recall includes select lots of Purdue breaded tenders, ButcherBox organic breast, and Simply Smart Organics breaded nuggets. S&P futures flat. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The economy is doing well, but anecdotal evidence of Wisconsin food pantries suggests people are still struggling. Savannah Tomei Olson reports on one food pantry where traffic has doubled in the past year.
The Oregon Area Food Pantry has already served almost 550 people this month, and we're only halfway through August. The price of food is up, the cost of rent is up, and childcare is astronomical. The executive director says most people who rely on the pantry work, some of them two and three jobs, but with rising costs of living, it's just not enough. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some county fairs in Wisconsin are banning lactating dairy cows this summer out of concern over bird flu spreading to dairy cows. Bird flu has not been found in any Wisconsin dairy herds, but it is affecting cows in states like Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers shut out the Guardians. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cleveland Guardians came to Milwaukee with the best record in baseball. They left after being swept in a three-game series. The crew with a 2-0 shutout Sunday, manager Pat Murphy.
That's what this whole thing's about. When you're thinking of a small market team, you're thinking of guys that have all been thrown away, all guys that have been said, no, you're not good enough. That's what makes it feel really, really special. makes you want to come to the ballpark every day when you have like that.
The Brewers head to St. Louis to open a 3-game series against the Cardinals tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers losing to the Broncos 27-2 last night in Denver. The Broncos played their starters, while the Packers went with their second and third string players, but Green Bay with poor run blocking and even worse pass protection.
Offensively, just want to see more fight from our guys. That was frustrating, the lack of ability to move the football, both in the running game and in the passing game. So we definitely just got to reevaluate and take a long, hard look at everybody.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 60. Tomorrow, sunshine, 71. By Wednesday, sunny with a high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Milwaukee, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Welcome back. We are live from Milwaukee today on our way to the Democratic National Convention on this Monday morning, August 19th, 2024. Nice to have you along. I'm here, of course, with Greg Bach in Waukesha, Selena Heller from Up North News, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, candidate for Congress, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Oh, it's just wonderful. Seems like it's going to be a good week. It's just a gorgeous sunny day here in downtown Milwaukee. We had pretty good, some spotty showers around at times, but boy, when that sun was out, it was just lovely. And can't wait to see what kind of a convention week forecast we're getting all across Wisconsin.
Oh, I've got a present for you. A pocket right. full of sunshine. How's that?
Oh, okay. Boom.
Mike, drop that, right?
All right.
Oh, goodness. No, we have gorgeous weather all week long. Actually, a high-pressure system is sliding in today. So this is the last chance of a few more spotty showers out there this afternoon. After that, we are going to see nothing but sunshine for the rest of the week. And in fact, some summery temperatures are returning for the weekend. So it's all good news from here on out. So today, a little bit of patchy fog out there in some places. We are going to see a little bit of wildfire smoke and a little haze to our sunshine as well. It will be partly sunny today, highs climbing to those mid to upper 70s. And again, like I said, a few spotty showers possible around 4 to 5-ish or so. And after that, we are good to go. Tons of sunshine on tap.
Oh, gosh. Looking forward to that. Of course, we mentioned on the National Day calendar that today is National Aviation Day, which Rob tells us is Brittany's holiday. So,
yes.
And
I'm going to fly
says,
away now.
Good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 54. It was a great weekend mowing on Saturday. Went to a gator ride on Sunday in the woods. He remembers the midnight special because it was on after Johnny Carson on Friday nights. And he wants to go to Rocky Rococo's Pizza today in Wausau. He went there a lot when he was in high school nearly 40 years ago.
Rocky's and is the best.
What's that?
Rocky's is the best.
Oh.
And I've never had it.
What?
So I think I have to go today too, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Breadsticks? Okay.
They're a great place. They have a salad bar they advertise as Salad Bar.
Nice.
Epic. There used to be one on Water Street in Eau Claire. Celine, did you go to it when it was on Water
Street? Not on Water Street, no.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
It's still one of Sherry's favorites to this day. And it raises the question now, because it's cut into rectangles, does that mean that this is what they call Detroit style pizza?
Oh,
which I would argue is you cut your pizza in rectangles, you pour some sauce over the top, and you call it Detroit style. And I say only this because we're heading to Chicago, and I already did with Christina Laurie. We're going to talk to her tomorrow. You talk to somebody from Chicago and you talk about pizza, man, suddenly there's like
fights aplenty if you're talking about somebody from New York or someplace else. And then Detroit's like, well, we have a style. No, you don't.
Well, okay. First of all, Chicagoans, real Chicagoans don't care about Chicago style pizza. It's a tourist pizza.
Oh, okay.
It's true. It's very true. None of my friends from Chicago live or ever eat it unless they're taking their parents to Luminati's. And then also, Detroit style pizza isn't about the shape. I thought it was about the fact that it's like 90% crust.
Yeah. Oh,
it's okay. so thick and crust that's what makes it quote unquote Detroit style, which I would argue is not a style. It's just
a lot of bread,
overflow of bread.
Which actually was the whole Rockies thing. Go ahead, Kristen.
I had no idea Greg was such a pizza expert.
Look at me. Have I ever said no to a pizza?
Stop.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm from Chicago, so I am a pizza snob. I'm also Italian, so there's that as well. So I will say it doesn't matter the way it's cut, but Chicago pizza is usually cut in squares and stuff, and it all is just on your taste. If it doesn't have that good flavor, that amazing sauce, I'm not touching it.
That's why I'm saying that I opened up at 6 a.m. saying only one of us here is having spicy pepperoni pizza for breakfast, cold out of the hotel room fridge, because that's what I had at the sports bar last night. So that is coming along right at 8:01. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. At 7:11, just about now, tell you that the Brewers, holy cow, what a week they've had. Remember, we headed into the week. They were about to have a four-game series with the Dodgers. Then they lost the first two games. Then you're thinking, uh-oh, are the wheels going to be coming off the bus here? Nay. They won the next two and split the series with the Dodgers, and now just got done sweeping the Cleveland Guardians in a three-game series, including Colin Ray taking a no-hitter into the sixth inning and defeating Cleveland yesterday by a score of 2-0. They are off today. They head down to St. Louis for three games starting tomorrow evening. Your first place Milwaukee Brewers now have an 11-game lead with 6 weeks to go in the season. This is fun. I'm liking this so far.
Mm-hmm. Feels so good. I love that Greg shows up every day wearing Brewers paraphernalia. It just like, it reminds me, it amps me up about the Brewers.
They're just fantastic. And I mean, Pat, we've talked to people on Matt and Aaron Air in February and March, like between Craig Counsell leaving and a very young team and wobbly acquisitions, people were like, this might not be it for them. This might be this. Take a year. Come back. No. And we have almost as good a record as any first place huge team in the entire league.
Here's the nice thing. We're not really looking. Most fans aren't looking at the National League Central Division standings now. They're looking at the full National League standings to see if you get a first round bye, or to see where you are in the playoff rankings. And we continue to be, third. But again, there's every reason to keep thinking we can catch up to those teams, at the very top of the league. Mm-hmm. Not something we would have predicted earlier in the year, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's wonderful. And I love this energy, and I love Pat Murphy so much.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I would say he probably got, other than the Robin Yount overture, of course, marking the 50th anniversary of his rookie season, when they do the lineup introductions, and of course, everybody's cheering for the Brewers, of course, what an ovation when they announced Pat Murphy in the lineup.
Yes.
I thought that was just great.
Yes.
Let me also say that I think this is the first time I've been to a Sunday home game in a long time. Certainly ever since they started singing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch. Mm-hmm. And there's the fella from Fan Services, Bob Kozlowski or something like that.
Oh, Bob.
Very unassuming man just comes out to the microphone and just delivers this very heartfelt rendition of God Bless America. And I hear it on TV every week, but only yesterday did I appreciate you can't pick it up on TV. Everybody in the crowd is singing. It was beautiful listening to everybody sing along with Bob.
Bob does that song. I can hear it in my head. I know every like movement he had when he does his vibrato, his lip moves. And then when it's done, they pull back and he salutes the flag. And yes. We're just like, yeah, let's continue to crush Cleveland.
Well, even and when he comes off the field, he goes through this concourse just to the side of the visiting dugout. And there's all these fans around, like when the Packers go through the tunnel at Lambeau. They all want to high five him on his way out.
We love Bob.
Such a fun environment. And one more note about it. There were a family with like three boys in front of me, Kristen, and they were getting a little wild later on in the game. They're trying to mug it up for the, you know, for the Jumbotron, hoping to get on there. And, you know, the parents are kind of looking like, should we settle them down or not? Are they having a good time? Foul ball comes up our way and it lands just to the right of us. And this guy gets it, probably in his 40s, something like that. And immediately, just without even thinking, just tosses it right over to them.
Aww.
Electric. These boys getting a Major League Baseball that had come up to them.
That's so great. That's so Wisconsin, isn't it? Like, yeah, it is. Yeah, let's just do some good with each other.
Yeah, it's a beautiful baseball moment here. With Selena in a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Farm Technology Days that took place last week in Chippewa County. So, Kristen, before we let you go, we mentioned you coming down to the convention at some point, some of what you expect to see and hear. We now know that in the 8th Congressional District, your Republican opponent will be Tony Weed. But we should also note for people there, and I'm sure they've heard it already, but there will be two elections, right? Mm-hmm. In the 8th Congressional District. And can you explain why that is?
Yeah, we have a special election because Mike Gallagher, our former congressman, vacated the seat back in the spring.
I believe the word you're looking for is abandoned. So, go ahead.
We no longer have representation here in the 8th Congressional District. So my name will be on the ballot twice, as will my competitor, twice in November. So you have to vote twice, once to fill the seat from November until January for the current session of Congress, and then the second time from January for the next 2 years. It's a little unusual. It's causing a lot of confusion, but hopefully it'll be clearer for folks as November approaches.
Time ever, you have to be like, vote Kristen twice.
That's right. It takes two, baby.
I completely misrepresented the primary election was about last week, and Alicia Saunders got on our live stream on Matt and Aaron real quick to say, you're wrong. Please don't.
Oh, good.
She didn't say please don't, but I felt like an idiot because I thought I'd heard it correctly, and I did not.
Oh, no, that's why we have such awesome listeners, you know, who are quick to make sure that we don't, you know, steer anybody wrong, as we go through the coming days here. So Kristen, it will be good to see. I don't know if we'll see you in Chicago, because I'm sure you'll be dashing in and out, and you know, we all know how much fun traffic is and the crush of people, but try to let us know where you're going to be. I want to tell you how jealous I am that our friends at Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy, actually got the first, as far as I can tell, the first joint interview with both you and Becca Cook, who won the 3rd Congressional District primary. And so you and Becca were on an Instagram live stream together with Motherhood for Good with our friend Kate Duffy, because now we kind of know who the whole Democratic ticket is for the Wisconsin congressional races. That looked like a lot of fun.
Kate was all over it. She said, what are you doing over lunch? Let's just hop on an IG live and just go. So I was picking James up at marching band practice, and I did it from the car in classic mom style.
She did. Yep.
Yeah. And Pat, the same stands for you. AirPods in my pocket, phone in my other pocket. We can chat anytime.
Call her on her cell phone.
Uh-huh. I got AirPods in my pocket. Yeah. You make this whole thing musical. That's actually something I'm going to try to do from the convention, is maybe try a couple of live hits either on Instagram Live or something else. And you're going to be one of my first calls for help.
Love that.
I mean, for a guest. Thank you, Kristen.
Or help. Either one. Yes. I got your back.
Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again really soon. And Alicia writes in, it's all good, Greg. Many are confused, and she was happy to set the record straight. Alicia, you're good people.
Jeez.
All right, Kristen, we will see you later. Selena Heller will join us to talk more about Farm Technology Days coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio, live from Milwaukee.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well,
you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is the song is called Dialogue Parts 1 and 2 by Chicago. It's off their Chicago 5 album, which was number one on the charts this day in 1972. And I know there's not nearly as many people that listen to all Chicago albums as much as I used to once upon a time. Dialogue Part 1 and 2 is one that I would recommend. It is it's a dialogue between somebody in their maybe 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, talking to a young person and getting the different kind of perspective on how young adults see the issues and problems of the world and wanting to get them to appreciate that while, you know, we don't mean to sound all doom and gloom, there's reason for you to get out of your own bubble and see what's happening in the world around you and become a voter. It's as relevant now as it was in 1972. And the part two of the song features the band with a chorus talking about, you know, we can make it better. We can save the children. We can change the world. And you'll hear that coming up in a few minutes as we get set to talk to State Senate Minority Leader, Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein from Middleton will be along coming up in just about less than 15 minutes. And we will talk about her heading to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago as a delegate, as a legislator, and the issues that people are going to be talking about. Selena Heller from Up North News is with us still and talking a bit about Farm Technology Days, which feels a little awkward to talk about from down here in Milwaukee. But look, agriculture is important all over, including just down the road here at the Port of Milwaukee, where, like all of our ports, all kinds of goods go out to all the rest of the world. It's a big deal, Selena. And so a show like this goes a long way toward reminding people of the importance of agriculture to everyone in Wisconsin.
Of course, there are so many people there wanting to talk about what they do and so many vendors wanting to help them out, of course, with all the new latest equipment and everything. So there's just a lot of people there. It was a good turnout. It was the theme was growing to the tune of success, Pat. And that's an nod to where it was held, because it was held on the Chippewa Valley Music Festival grounds in Cadott, where they hold Country Fest and Rock Fest, and also hosted by Close Farms in Cadott. So a lot of people were there, and it was a pretty neat event. One of the big things. So I was asking people like, What are the big things? What are the neat things that people are looking at here this week? And one of them was drones. So they had a lot of big drone demonstrations. And talk about big drone demonstrations. Oh my goodness. When you think of drones, you think of these, you know, just the little things.
Little things that just kind of buzz around like you know, whatever. And yeah, they come in all sizes now.
Holy cow, they're bigger than me. Can you imagine those up in the sky? It's spraying crops and everything. And they check them for crop damage. Or they use them to check for crop damage. And in some counties in Wisconsin, bear damage for crops. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they're using them now. I talked to one of the people there who were doing the demonstrations. American Drone was one of the companies, and Jeremy Williams was from that company. And here's what he had to say about what all drones are used for today in farming.
The smaller camera drones, they're used to maybe things like count herds. You can use special sensor, multispectral sensors to measure crop health in your field. Those are the small ones with the sensors. The ones that we do, the spraying spreading, we can apply a pesticide. We can spread cover crop seeding. We can spread dry fertilizer. We can actually go out, carry a payload, and put on an aerial input onto the field without damaging any existing crop.
Wait a minute. I guess cameras. Yes, I get that. But carrying a payload.
Yeah, they had tanks on them.
Wow.
Yeah, they're
really at that point. I don't know where the line is where you've left drone and now it's unmanned helicopter is kind of where we're there's a line there someplace, and I feel like we're on it now. But that's fascinating.
It is, and that's, you know, you wouldn't believe it really until you see it, and these, they're ginormous, and that's what, you know, they're doing the work and helping out in this new technology. And some of the farmers are like, you know, this is all great and all this new, these big combines of course, and but you know, a lot of can't afford all of that business, so they just get old school.
Greg, I saw that smile. How great is it to have somebody with a 7-year-old kid on the show that they just drop in words like ginormous, you know, just in the conversation?
I love it. I was trying to think of another ginormous type of word, but I was let Selena talk. I'm done. Goodbye.
Yep. Who else did
we have
you
all talk? Sorts of words.
I have the best words.
The best words, as every 7-year-old does. Who else did you talk to out there?
Oh, you were talking about kind of young people earlier. Well, I talked to the college instructors and what's going on in colleges lately. Like, what are they teaching and what are the classes and kind of how it's evolving, not just ag classes. So Julie Wadzinski from Northwood Technical College, she is a farm operations instructor, and she talked about kind of the careers these days that students are going into.
So the students that I'm seeing coming in are no longer the cash crop, big corn and soybean guys, or even big dairy producers that we would expect in the state. There's been a shift post-COVID towards food production and for direct-to-consumer and niche markets. So I have students who are looking at starting apple orchards and doing value-added. I have hemp producers looking at CBD products, not just the oil, but what can we make with the oil as value-added. In addition to those garden marketers who are raising vegetables and selling them to consumers. So there's been a huge shift from that big farmer mentality to monetizing homesteads and trying to produce local food for their local communities.
Trying to think of the analogy for that there's all kinds of different types of farming now, and it you know, that the big crops are done now on kind of these mega farms. You don't need a, you know, a family of 10 kids to run it, and instead it's kind of like how there used to be, say, a store on every corner. Everybody had a general store. Well, now there's just a handful of big supermarket chains, but it frees up other people to go into all kinds of other retail businesses. And the same goes for agriculture. Instead of everybody's got to be a corn farmer, it's all these other things that you can be doing around Wisconsin.
Oh, right. All those apple orchards, you know, and you see all of those things, like the apple orchards that are evolving into more than just an apple orchard too. So like, it's so much entertainment. Like Ferguson's, we have Ferguson's Orchard here in Eau Claire, and they have all sorts of kids activities. Every year they're adding a corn pit, a haunted house. And so these things are just not just a little thing like, oh, let's start an apple orchard, but it's more and more and more and more and becoming entertainment also. So just pretty neat things. One of the neat things we saw at Farm Tech Days, square dancing horses.
I'm sorry, what?
Emery and I watched a team in the equine area that, well, the people had their square dancing outfits on and they did square dances with the horses. It was pretty neat.
Are you sure these weren't drones too? No, I mean, they're doing a lot with AI these days.
No, it was a fun show, and they danced and twirled, and
Always something out of you, Celine. Celine Heller, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You do.
Talk to you more later. When we come back, we're going to talk with Diane Hesselbein, Senate Democratic leader here in the Wisconsin legislature on Up North News Radio, live from Milwaukee. Back in a bit.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Technology we're using on today's farms fascinating to non-farm attendees at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. What technology are they focused in on? Those details on the way.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Abir Saha is the museum curator at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History. He says they're focused in on agriculture, and he says what farmers think are common everyday technologies are really important for their agriculture storytelling.
I've been looking at the history of the center pivot, which really revolutionized how irrigation was done on fields around the world. And if you look at a center pivot, it's responsible for why so many fields now are circular. When you look at them from an aircraft, you'll see these circular fields because center pivot irrigation moves that water in a circular radius around the farm. And so it's a kind of invention which has really not just changed farming, but it's changed the landscape and geography of what the earth looks like.
Abir Saha, he is the museum curator at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. That is a facility that gets about 1.2 million visitors annually.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And although the Packers may not have been real impressive in their game against Denver last night, the Wisconsin FFA Foundation wants to invite all Packer fans to join them for a special watch party Friday, September 6th, as the Packers play in Brazil. The watch party is going to be held just outside the Titletown District. Cost is $100 per adult and will include all kinds of entertainment as well as food. Take a look at details, WIFFAFoundation.org, and get your tickets today, WIFFAFoundation.org. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 10 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, 60. Tomorrow, sunshine, 71. By Wednesday, sunny with a high of 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know. I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of the Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mark your calendars for August 22nd through the 24th for the Neighborhood Beer Garden at Rivers Crossing Park. Enjoy live music, food, socializing, and of course, beer. On Thursday the 22nd, enjoy the Where You Belong meetups at Rivers Crossing beginning at 5 p.m. Head to the Parks, Rec, and Forestry office for discount theme park tickets before Labor Day. There's still fun to be had while the season lasts at the Horb Springs Aquatic Center before closing on the 20th, or Buckner Pool, which closes on the 25th.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global. Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And I am joined now by State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein. Diane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing very well. We're both getting set to make the trip down to Chicago. You as a delegate, have you been to a national convention either as a delegate or an observer before?
No, this is my first one. Have you been there?
I was at Denver in 2008 as a delegate.
And I heard that was fun.
It was a lot of fun because at that point, Barack Obama had sewn up the nomination. But you'll recall that back in like February, early March, when the Wisconsin primary was going to be at that point, it still wasn't clear if it was going to be Obama or Hillary Clinton. And so I signed up to be a delegate just in case there was that kind of drama. Like, there hasn't been a brokered convention in, you know, our lifetimes. But I'm like, right, what if this one is? I want to be a part of it. So now you've got this one where I don't know that there was, you know, the highest energy level beforehand, but that has really changed over the past month, hasn't it?
It has completely flipped. It is so exciting, and I'm so looking forward to going, and there's so many things going on that I'm trying to figure out what thing to go to, how much can you cram in one day, and why are the parties, I think for all your listeners, some of the parties are for 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Hello, I go to bed early. What is up with that? Who can do that? And then there's breakfast. It's like 8 in the morning. What? How are we supposed to do this?
I feel like there's something for everybody that way because, again, with an early morning radio show, and we're down here with Elizabeth Montemurro on our team, and I've already told her, I'm like, you're taking the night shift. You take the evening events. I'm going to do the delegation breakfasts and things like that. So we're able to tag team it. But, yeah, if you're in your position, you know, a delegate, you got to kind of pick and choose what you want to do here.
Exactly. Something's going on all the time. I talked to somebody who used to go, and they're like, yeah, take naps. I'm not a napper. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing.
Yeah, you have to pick and choose and collapse and then get back up and do it again.
Exactly.
Because of all the different things that are going to be going on. Because the convention business, of course, is pro forma. I mean, we know who the nominee is going to be. And yet, folks are going to be in Chicago for not just the meetings or parties, but for the speeches. They want to hear themes. Yeah. And tell me about the themes that you expect to hear, probably the same themes that you're giving when you're knocking on doors on behalf of other legislative candidates.
I'm hoping, you know, we hear from all the people about reproductive health choices belonging to the individuals, not to politicians. And we've been really good hearing that the entire time, too. Supporting K-12 education, gun sense laws, common sense laws, things like that. Safety, security. I think that's what's on everybody's mind. I'm curious how Vice President Kamala Harris is going to kind of thread the needle to bring everybody together. I think she's done a great job on that so far. I think she wants to be president for everybody. I'm anxious to hear what she has to say.
What do you think that of the strategy so far on the Republican side from Donald Trump through J.D. Vance, but even down to Eric Hovde and others, such a focus on the southern border and migrants and crime? I mean, when J.D. Vance comes back to Wisconsin tomorrow, Tuesday, I believe, you know, it's going to be Kenosha. It's going to be about crime. Donald Trump is doing something in Michigan this week. The theme is crime. Do they know something we don't? Or what do you think of the current Republican priorities?
I think that's all we're hearing from our Senate candidates as well. I was talking to one of my Republican colleagues, and they were saying what they hear on the doors is a southern border and crime. That's it. And I was like, really? You don't hear about healthcare? I mean, environment? I mean, I'm knocking all over the state, too. And on any door that I'm knocking on, no one has mentioned the border. And those are Republican voters, Democratic voters, and sometimes not even voters. They just live there and they're thinking maybe they might be voting for the first time. I've never heard that as a concern.
What? When you talk to those voters, and especially somebody that might be voting for the first time, do you feel like they understand the importance of Wisconsin as a swing state and as a result, the importance of their individual vote?
I think they do, and especially young people. I'm fortunate I have a 22-year-old daughter who's voted on every single election since she could. But her friends are like, you know, wow, we, you know, they're like, we're an amazing generation. We can actually shift this thing. And they're realizing it, because I think we can just keep telling them, like, we need you to vote. We need you to vote. And some of them are trying to make up their mind who to vote for. And I'm glad that they're having those conversations with me.
Now, when folks might be just a touch older than that, when I'm talking specifically of like young parents, to what degree do you think they are aware of who is fighting for them when it comes to things like paid family leave and child care assistance and health care? Is there still kind of an education process involved? Or do you get the feeling that a lot of, you know, young parent voters in your district and elsewhere have an idea of what these struggles are like and whether one candidate or another is fighting for them?
Are you saying I'm not a young parent?
I'm saying no. We are not parents.
I am not. No. My youngest is 22. No, I would say that with young parents, they know who's on their side. And when they really care about what's going on in the classroom and class sizes and healthcare decisions, they know that Democrats are fighting for them every single day. And they can see it we know that the Democrats have put forward bills for healthy school lunches for all. They know that we're on their side and that we're on the side of public education for their kids.
We're talking with State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hasselbein, and we're talking about some of the specific issues that reach people at their kitchen table, at their pocketbooks. And we've hit on a couple of them here, but I want to get to things like reproductive health rights, school lunches you mentioned a moment ago. Mm-hmm. And that's something we've discussed in the context of Project 2025, which I think more and more people are starting to become aware of. But again, I'm more of an insider. You're talking to folks at the doors. Do you feel like there is a building awareness of what this, you know, multi-group conservative blueprint is and what impact it would have on people? Or is there still an education process going on?
There's still an education process going on. People are like, now, what is that? Oh, is that just something they wrote? And I'm like, actually, it's a long, long document. And a lot of people don't have the time to read it through, right? They're busy living their lives. You know, it's football season. They're getting together with friends. They don't, you know, they might not be as clued in as we are and actually reading it, right? So it's just important that we talk to them about what it is and why that would be a hostile takeover of our government.
Okay, well, let's go through a couple of those then. And again, the reasons, the answers might be self-evident to us, but like I said, we were picking on school lunches as just one of many parts in this 900-page document. And you know, your caucus and members of your caucus and in the assembly as well have been fighting for healthy school meals and affordable school lunches. Why is that important? Why should we be concerned that Republicans, and especially in Project 2025, speak so freely about getting rid of any kind of assistance for meals in school?
Well, kids can't learn when they're hungry, and we've got problems in schools, and we have been looking at test scores as well, and we realize that kids aren't testing well if they're not eating well. And if we could give healthy school meals to everybody, we would be ensuring that every single kid would have a full belly when they go to school, and it would remain that throughout the entire day. Some people just simply can't afford to feed their kids, and that's a really harsh and it's a sad reality. And if we level the playing field, everyone gets the lunch, everyone gets fed, and I think we're going to have better kiddos, we're going to have better teachers. I think everyone's going to do better in the school day if we can just get those kids fed a healthy meal.
We know that in Project 2025, for example, not only is there all of the usual language against women's reproductive health choices, but that it goes many steps further than that, restricting or banning the use of mifepristone as an example. You've already mentioned that you're hearing about reproductive health rights at the doors. The Dobbs decision has clearly, found its way into the main top tier of issues. How much worse could it really get, people might ask you, if Donald Trump and Republicans were to win big in November? So I'll ask you, how much worse could it get?
They could completely outlaw abortion in any case. They have a bill for the state, for the Wisconsin State Senate and Assembly, that would outlaw even abortion in the case of rape, incest, or life of the mother. That's absolutely what they could do, and women will die. That's what will happen. We've had many instances in Texas, and people have come to Wisconsin to tell their terrible stories that they were on death's door, and the doctor was like, is it risk of the mother yet? Are they almost dead yet? What does almost dead mean? Does it mean that they're on life support? Is that when I go in and I help if there is a dead fetus or something going on? It's really a gray area, and we just have to trust women and doctors to make the best decisions that they can.
In a similar vein, let me switch to expanding Medicaid and how Wisconsin is about to be one of only two or three states that hasn't expanded postpartum coverage to 12 months from the original 60 days.
Us and Arkansas.
In a bill that passed in the state Senate where you are, 32 to 1. And the one was, who do you remember? I want to say it was Dewey Strobel.
I think it was too.
And that's a different conversation. But in the assembly, there are more than, there's a majority who are sponsors of the bill. And again, I know the answer to this, but why hasn't that been brought up in the assembly for a vote for such a slam dunk?
Speaker Voss doesn't want any kid in Medicaid expansion for any reason, for any opportunity to help anybody. He's just 100% against it. He said, as long as he is speaker, we'll never be doing any type of things for that. It's really unfortunate, and it's short-sighted. And it's actually mean when you think about it. Postpartum for 1 year, yeah, your body goes through a lot. You have a lot going on. This is helping people. It's helping women and babies and families get the help that they need so they can be come back, then go back to work. They can be with their families and not have such a dramatic, all the stuff that goes through after you have a kid. I mean, it's just common sense.
So when you're at the doors, then, I mean, obviously a lot of these folks aren't in Speaker Voss's district. So I imagine the message is, well, then let's take Voss out of the speaker's position and take, you know, Republicans out of the majority. There's new maps, but you know, it's still a tall hill to climb to get, what, 15 seats for Democrats to take control. Well, what's your sense of that challenge?
I think the state assembly is in a great position to do that. I have full confidence in Leader Neubauer and Chair Ben Wickler for the state of Wisconsin. And I know we are all working together hand in hand. I'll be honest, it hasn't always been that way. Sometimes there's been a push and a pull with the state assembly and the state Senate or the chair, and it's not that way at all. We are on the same team and rowing all in the same direction. It is fantastic to be a part of, and it's fun. It's fun to watch different things happening for different caucuses.
All right, let's then start to wrap things up by taking it back to the convention. President Biden is going to be speaking in the time since he's decided to step back and not run for re-election. It appears that the response has been overwhelming in sense of a term feeling of gratitude by the delegates. What are you expecting when President Biden gets to that convention floor?
I believe it's going to be a huge standing ovation. I believe he'll be standing there a very long time until he's allowed to speak, because we're all going to be clapping and just exploding with appreciation for what he's done. And the fact that he stepped aside, and people were wondering, would he do that or not? And I was like, I have full confidence in what President Joe Biden's going to do in that decision that he will make. He has always made the best decision for our country, and I believe he will always continue to do so.
Do you feel like convention exposure is going to help Senator Tammy Baldwin in her race this fall?
Oh, absolutely. But Tammy Baldwin, she is a fierce competitor. She is fantastic. She is a wonderful state. I mean, she's just an amazing U.S. senator. And so, she's doing a great job. And I believe she's going to win very handedly in November, as she always has.
All right. Well, sleep deprivation notwithstanding, is there something more on the fun side that you're most looking forward to? Is it about seeing anybody or hearing from anybody in particular, doing a particular activity? What do you think is going to be the highlight of your week going in?
You know, I've never seen Bill Clinton live, so that would be fun. I saw President Barack Obama, I think, when he was at UW-Madison speaking at something, but it's been a few years, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to Vice President Kamala Harris, what she's going to say. And then people keep telling me that we're going to have some good music. I don't know. I keep hearing, like, wait, everyone's asking me, and I keep saying, I don't know, but I'm excited for whoever's going to be there.
I think people are going to be very entertained, and to which I think we can only say, just keep watching that screen, and not just on TV. Yeah. There are 16 different options for live streaming this thing through TikTok and YouTube and X and everything else, but you get to be right there. State Senator Dianne Hasselbein, thank you so much. Enjoy it to its fullest, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me on. Take care.
It was really nice to talk with the senator about getting set to come to the Chicago convention. Again, we heard from Kristen Lierley earlier, who will be coming down. Now, not everybody will, because obviously there are campaigns to run. I was communicating with Becca Cook, who's in the 3rd Congressional District. And it's one of those things where when you're in a tougher race, every day you can be in the district matters. And so as much as people might like, you know, to be part of all the festivities, there's still a lot of work to be done with. What is it, Greg? 78 days.
Oh my gosh, it's not that bad.
No. Look, again, we're talking about a campaign that's basically 100 days long instead of, you know, 4 years.
I was going to say, so, but it feels like a decade.
What a decade we've had this year, huh? Yeah. Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, is going to join us with 3 things you need to know to start the week next here up north.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now with 3 things you need to know to start the week. Mr. Bell, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Very good, thanks. And where do we find you this morning?
You find me at my Airbnb, about 15-minute walk from the United Center.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that'll be handy, although I have to truck several miles in the other direction in order to hopefully get a little bit of the Wisconsin delegation breakfast coverage this morning, but I understand that's going to be easier said than done, so I'll do my best.
Yes, we mentioned earlier in the show about the note that, hey, thanks for applying for credentials, but we can't guarantee there will be room for you, because apparently Wisconsin is, we are the popular kids now being in the swing state.
Oh boy, yeah, is that ever the case? So I don't know, we'll see what happens when I get there.
My, you know, I will probably be doing that, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right after the show, while they're in the midst of the breakfast. But for folks who aren't aware of it, Terry, the delegation breakfast, like what's so special about breakfast? It's not about the breakfast. It's that all the various VIPs will make the rounds. Essentially, obviously they won't get to all 50 state delegations, but you know, if somebody, maybe her name rhymes with Mamala, you know, if she's going to drop into just a couple of state convention delegation breakfasts, you know, it would be a swing state like Wisconsin.
How is no one not the vice Mamala presidenters? Well, I'm sorry, Greg, I stepped all over that.
I was gonna say, how has no one called her Mamala Harris now? I just can't believe that.
What's your face? Drew Barrymore. Everybody's yelling at their radio right now. She was the one that kind of started that. And in fact, over at the Motherhood for Good website, I looked over the weekend, their new merch, and Mamala is some of the merch. So you can go support them. So I'm sorry, Greg, we were mentioning all the VIPs that stop by these places.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not the vice president herself. Definitely some very high level surrogates.
Yeah, I was exaggerating. I don't think the vice president's going to be doing that necessarily. But you know, you'll find cabinet secretaries and other senators. Certainly, people interested in running for other offices someday will be there. So needless to say, if we're going to talk about 3 things you need to know, the convention kicking off is most certainly one of them.
Yep, that's the biggie today. Of course, the DNC kicking off. President Biden and will speak tonight. And while all this is happening in Chicago, the big thing that people are just talking about, just on the streets around the convention, is the possibility of protests throughout the week. They could be big, they could be intense, and people are certainly hoping there won't be violent confrontations with authorities, and they're trying to de-escalate these situations. We'll see how it goes.
And I think a lot of that is cheerleading from a certain quarter, and I don't mean the people supporting either Palestinians or others. I think there are media folks and political folks that love to talk about 1968, even though Chicago has had a convention since in 1996 that went just fine there, so I hope that things are as potentially overblown as I think they might be, but from certain quarters. But we won't know until we get into the heart of things. I thought there was the potential for some, very spirited demonstrations by the Pfizer Forum. Nothing like that at all. There were good sized demonstrations, but nothing got out of hand by any stretch of the imagination. And hopefully the same can be said here.
People I hear from say that these movements tend to their bark is worse than their bite, so to speak, and that this movement is much smaller than it may appear to be if you're just paying attention to a few news outlets.
Well, on top of that, in a, I guess you would say, a more savvy, media savvy time, if nothing else, there are people, frankly, on both sides, whatever group is protesting, and on the police side of things, there are people who focus on de-escalation and of making sure that things don't get out of hand, because it could make, obviously people could get hurt, or it could just be bad. It could be bad publicity, as you might put it. What else are you following this week for us?
Well, yeah, there are other things happening in the world. Later this week in Madison, the University's Wisconsin Board of Regents will meet, and apparently more two-year branch campuses layoffs and job layoffs are on the table. So we'll see how that goes. But things have not been going in the direction of the two-year schools, which have been shrinking in enrollment. Revenues have been going down, and the Regents may be faced with more tough decisions.
I've been wondering about that, because for some time now we've talked about how the level of state support from the legislature to the UW system certainly has not kept up with expenses, and isn't nearly as generous as it used to be when we had more politicians that valued a higher education. But I'm starting to wonder if there are, what would be the good examples of states? And so I don't know if it's going to be the Wisconsin Policy Forum or one of these other, research and think tanks, but I would be curious to see if there is a state that is laying out a blueprint for what would be a healthy level of support. Again, we're not talking about throwing money at a problem. We're talking about what is an optimal level of support to make sure that your university system is operating, at peak efficiency. Because if these closures are certainly not the way to have that done with this system, where nothing but bad news lies ahead for the universities if this trend keeps up.
And there's a task force charged with doing exactly that, Pat, trying to figure out the best ways through these challenges.
You got one more for us before we wrap up today?
Yeah. So apparently the federal government is recommending that Wisconsin screen for Krabbe disease. This is a rare and fatal brain disease that is detected at birth. It made the news a few years ago, and Jim Kelly, the former pro football quarterback, his son died of this. So this is a very serious. Is the problem with the screening that some doctors have is that they can produce false positives. And also there are some doubts about the treatments. It can be treated with stem cell therapy, but the outcomes are not always great. So there's been some pushback in Wisconsin to mandatory screenings for Krabbe, but it's back on the table now that the federal government is suggesting that it's a good idea.
Man, we are just always learning something from you, and you'll get this and much more from the Civic Media News team throughout the course of the week, including Terry's coverage from Chicago from the Democratic National Convention. I'll be seeing you there, Terry. Take care. Have a great day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yep, and Mr. Bach, we'll see you about 10 o'clock with Ms. Matinair, I assume.
Yes, you will.
We will see you then as well. And thanks, of course, to Kristen Lierley, Selena Heller, and Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein for joining us today. And thanks to all of you for joining us on this Monday, live from Milwaukee. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Be sure to follow us online on social media at upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our website. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you from Chicago tomorrow morning.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, it's producer Conrad. Pete will be back from vacation Monday with guests Rob Thomas and Bill Leff. The Democratic National Convention is next week, so join the Nightlight stream from 7 to 9 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, or X.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. IdeaFest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at CivicMedia.us. You are listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.